to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Michelle Leslie.
And I'm Amy Spreeman. You know, we've probably all heard of some famous walls in our time, like the Great Wall of China, the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, even the walls of Jericho. There was a time in history when it was common practice for a city to have a wall built around its perimeter. Walls have historically been built for protection to keep the inhabitants of the city safe from attacking enemies. But today, when Christians build a church building, we don't usually erect a wall around it. But there's a very real enemy that we need to keep out and protect ourselves from, and that is false doctrine.
That is so true, Amy. There is such a huge need for this in the church today. And unfortunately, some churches have left themselves vulnerable to attack, and the enemy is already infiltrated and taken over. So tonight we want to talk especially to pastors, our dear pastor friends out there, about six ways that they can build a wall, an invisible spiritual wall around their churches to keep false doctrine out and to protect their precious congregations from being attacked by this vicious enemy.
And even if you're not a pastor, don't touch that dial, as they used to say. Listen up, ladies, because first of all, you can pass this episode along to your pastor if you like. And second, the things we're going to discuss can help you, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, a church musician, or a servant in some other area of your church, to identify ways that false doctrine might be creeping into your church and how to keep it out.
That's right. So let's jump right in with these six ways that pastors can build that wall against false doctrine to protect their churches. First of all, the most important thing, preaching the word. Pastor, the buck starts and stops with you. Here's what the Bible has to say about a pastor's duties in preaching. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And Titus 1:9 says, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. So pastors, as you're hearing these verses, and I'm sure you all already know them, maybe be thinking about, are you preaching the word? Are you preaching it in season and out of season? Do you rightly handle God's word? Are you preaching sound doctrine and rebuking those who contradict it? Are you declaring the whole counsel of God? Or hopefully this isn't you, but is your focus on preaching to entertain, to keep people happy, to encourage giving, or to keep from rocking the boat in some way? Search your heart and your sermon notes, because only you can answer those questions. But strong preaching is the first step in building a strong wall to protect your church.
Absolutely. And the second one is, you know, Michelle just talked about preaching the word, teaching the word. Pastors, how much do you know about how and what your Sunday school, your Bible study, or other small group leaders teach? And if you're from a big church, that can be hard to keep track of sometimes. Have you ever observed yourself or evaluated or interviewed any of your teachers about these things? Does your church have any formal qualifications for teachers? You know, you might be surprised many don't. Are they required to go through any sort of training, and who are their spiritual influencers? That's a real important one too, Michelle. Which celebrity pastors and authors are they recommending to their classes? A teacher who is listening to or reading materials by false teachers during the week is probably going to have her theology shaped by those false teachers. And she's going to bring that warped theology into a classroom where it will infect the students. Now, a teacher whose main discussion questions are something like, how do you feel about this verse? I've had that one come up before long ago. Or what does this verse mean to you? And that's not really handling God's word properly, and thus not properly training students. So find out what's going on in your Sunday school classrooms and strengthen your wall by strengthening your teachers.
That's right. Strong teachers make a strong, help to make a strong congregation. Yeah. And unfortunately, the reverse is also true. If there's a little leaven in your teachers, we know the Bible tells us that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So, yep. and bad company corrupts good morals, the Bible tells us too. So whatever your teachers are teaching, that's going to be the level that your congregation will rise to. So yes. That's really, really important. I think the next thing that's really important is not just the teachers, but the Sunday school or small group curricula that you use. Because so few teachers are properly trained, churches tend to rely heavily on the Sunday school curricula to do the actual teaching for them. So have you examined your curricula lately? Are the lessons anchored in copious amounts of rightly exposited scripture, or are they mainly comprised of inspirational stories and illustrations? Check the discussion questions. Are the discussion questions shallow and watered down, or do they challenge people to think and search those scriptures for understanding? Find out if the curriculum recommends supplementary materials or music from biblically questionable sources. Some of them do. Find out if the curriculum recommends homework assignments that would include unbiblical practices such as contemplative prayer or yoga. So you can really build a strong, solid wall with solid curricula that you're using in your small groups too.
Amen. This next one is going to be near and dear to, I know, Michelle's heart and mine as well. The fourth one, women's Bible study. Now, yes. This is an area of your wall which needs major fortification. Doesn't matter if you're from a solid church or some big mega church somewhere, pay attention to the women's Bible study. Now, in many churches, it is the primary avenue through which false teaching infiltrates the body. We've seen it over and over again. Is yes. your women's ministry using studies or materials by a best-selling author like Beth Moore, Priscilla Shire, Christine Kane, Joyce Meyer, Lisa Tierkirst, or of Proverbs 31 Ministries, or Lisa Harper, Lisa Bevere, the three Lisas, Jenny Allen of If Gathering, and Ann Voskamp, Sheila Walsh, or Sarah Young's Jesus Calling Ouch? Are your ladies attending these conferences, retreats, or simulcasts headlined by any of these people? Now, if so, the women of your church are being taught by teachers who have taught false doctrine. And so really, really pay attention to the women's Bible ministry. Whatever happened to teaching just the Bible? That's a good idea.
That's right.
If your men's Bible study curriculum, contains some things, really men's Bible studies also need to be examined if they're looking at books outside of what scripture teaches. But again, women's Bible study is a major foothold of false doctrine. So make sure the wall around your women's ministry is extra strong.
Yes, absolutely do that. I don't think it's exaggerating to say that in my experience, and I'm sure yours too, Amy, that the women's ministry is one of the major ways, if not the major way, that false doctrine comes into the church. So really, yep. really fortify that wall around your women's ministry for sure. The next thing is your music. I mean, if your church uses Caleb's playlist to formulate its worship set, you're probably importing false doctrine right into your worship service. You've got to vet both the lyrics and the artists themselves for sound yes. theology. Now, when it comes to contemporary worship music, the most popular and common sources of false doctrine are Hillsong, Elevation Music, which comes out of Stephen Furtick's church, Bethel Music, and Jesus Culture, which comes out of Bethel Church as well in Redding, California, and also any solo artists or groups who are affiliated with any of these major churches or groups. Hillsong, Elevation, and Bethel all teach the Word of Faith, Prosperity Gospel heresy, and or the New Apostolic Reformation heresy.
Yes.
And when Amy and I say heresy, we do not use that term flippantly. We are talking actual heresy here. And if you're not familiar with these heresies that I've mentioned or any of these organizations, please do check the show notes. We'll have lots of information available for you. Beef up the wall around your church's music ministry by only using doctrinally sound songs from doctrinally sound artists. You've got to check them out.
Well, and I like how you said both the lyrics and the artist, Michelle, because a lot of people will say, well, you know, Hillsong back in the day had some really good songs, and they talk about Jesus and they seem to be sound. But if you look at what Hillsong has become, just seeing the name Hillsong on your screen gives people permission and, you know, gives your solid thumbs up and green light to say, hey, Hillsong is okay. Go check them out. They are not okay. So want to say yes, both the lyrics and where the lyrics come from really need to be looked at.
Absolutely. All right,
number six is ecumenism, and I'm probably saying that right. I always say that wrong. How do you put the emphasis on the syllable, Michelle?
I say it ecumenism.
Ah, okay.
I don't know if that's right or wrong.
I'm just saying ecumenical. I can say that. Ecumenical. Ecumenical yeah. is how I usually
Ecumaniacs.
Say it. Ecumaniacs. So. Yes. So is your church partnering or fellowshipping with other local churches outside your own denomination? Are you thoroughly familiar with their beliefs and practices? And are those beliefs and practices biblical? Where do they stand on female pastors, elders, and teachers? What is their position on homosexuals as church members or church leaders? Where do they stand on abortion or the inerrancy, infallibility, and supremacy of Scripture? What about extra-biblical revelation? God told me this. What about signs and wonders, works righteousness? Do they have a biblical statement of faith on paper but stray from it in practice? You'd be surprised. Many churches do that. They, you know, they say one thing and sounds good. If you look at Stephen Furtick's Elevation message of faith, even Joel Osteen, I mean, these people are wolves in sheep's clothing, but yet if you read their statement of faith, they clearly cut and paste it from somewhere else because they don't practice it. But, you know, not every organization that calls itself a Christian church actually is one by biblical standards. And so we're not to partner or fellowship with those whose beliefs and practices do not line up with Scripture. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. So you've got some opposites going on there. It's very clear. And 1 John 10:11 says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, and that means doctrinally sound teaching, by the way, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works.
Yeah, that is so true. And, you know, I was just thinking, we said, you know, you need to check out churches outside your denomination, but increasingly, I think you probably better check out churches even inside your own denomination to see whether you need to partner with them or not. Because, I mean, I'm Southern Baptist, and there are some Southern Baptist churches or churches who claim to be Southern Baptist anyway, that I would not partner with. I mean, technically Stephen Furtick's church is Southern Baptist. Yes. So, you know, you better check out not just the churches outside your denomination, but you better check out any other church or Christian organization that you decide to partner with. Yeah. So all of these things that we've talked about tonight, that's a lot of vetting and extra work for pastors who are probably already overwhelmed and stretched thin. We love our dear pastors out there. We know that y'all are working so hard to be faithful shepherds, and we are not trying to overwhelm y'all in any way. So if I could just make a suggestion about this, don't try to do all this stuff alone. After all, those cities with protective walls, they had people working hard to build those walls, lots of people. Yeah. And once the walls were completed, they mustered up plenty of troops of soldiers to guard the gates. Maybe there's an associate pastor who could take on vetting curricula and fellow churches and conference speakers. Or how about a mature, discerning church member that you trust who would be willing to lend a hand with researching your music or women's Bible study books? Maybe you have a master teacher capable of training your Sunday school and small group teachers. Ask your people for help. Use the ones who are already able and train the ones who are willing to be made able. Get that wall built to shut out false doctrine and station your armed guards at the gates to check out everything that comes in.
Because I agree.
Yeah, because the enemy is out there and we want to make sure that's where he stays. And I know that our pastor friends who are listening, they want to do that too. They love their congregations and they want to do what's best for them.
Well, and I think the congregations will be very, very thankful. It's been the cry of the hearts of so many discerning people. I wish my church would just take a stronger stand against some of these things. And so this is the cry of our hearts as well. We just really hope and pray that more churches will fortify their walls, because that enemy is prowling and we know what he wants, and we don't want to give it to him. So
that's right. And let me share something real quick too. There's been a sermon video floating around. I posted it on my blog today, and it's been shared around on Facebook a lot. It's a pastor who's preaching a sermon about why his church isn't going to use Bethel or Hillsong music anymore. And it has gotten such an overwhelmingly positive response. Wow. I've had more comments on that today than I've had on a lot of things. And Pastor, let me encourage you, if you're listening to it, they were all positive comments. They were all saying, oh, that pastor loves his congregation. He is so brave to stand up and to speak these truths when he knows that some people could get angry about it. So let me just encourage you, you might be pleasantly surprised when you get up and start protecting your church against false doctrine. You might be blessed by the people who want to hear biblical truth and who want false doctrine kept out.
Amen. I did see your post, Michelle, and I earmarked it to listen to later on, probably in a few hours. I'm going to crank that up and we'll put that in the show notes as well.
Yeah, we will.
So you can listen to that. Well, that's going to wrap it up for another episode of A Word Fitly Spoken. Be sure to check out our show notes for this episode and connect with us on social media. Consider supporting us through PayPal or Patreon if you want to help support this podcast and help our operating costs, or just drop us an email with questions and show ideas. You can do all that and more at awordfitlyspoken.life. And until next time, walk worthy.